Daf Chaf Beis. So we got to the top of Chaf Beis. We were going through an interesting agatha about what it means to be a Talmud Chacham. A person has to wake up early in the morning and has to leave the house and the responsibilities onto his wife so he could go out and learn. So the Gemara now says we are a few lines down, around 8 lines down. Umishalim. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Dvarim. Umishalim lisonav el panav lehavido. Now Hashem is going to pay back the enemies in order to destroy them. What that means is, Amir Bishu ben Levi il male mikra kasev had the pasuk that said it. Yev shalomra, we ourselves couldn't say it. Kiviyachal kadam shenosei masoy al panav umivakish lashlicho mimenu. It's as if Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to pay back the Rishayim all their good deeds in this world so that he could destroy them in the world to come. We have a number of other drushes that say this idea, but he pays them in this world so they have no schar in olam haba. Gemara then says further, lo yacher lesono, he's not going to delay in his hatred. Amar Rabbi Ila lesonav hu delo yacher, he's not going to delay paying back the enemies. Aval yacher letzadikim gemurim, he will delay paying back tzadikim. He rather preserve the schar for olam haba. Behainu da Amar Bishu ben Levi, ma'ayde chesed, what the pasuk means when it says, Asher nochi mitzav hayom la'asosam, today to do the mitzvahs, hayom la'asosam, today in olam hazeh is the time to perform mitzvahs, v'lo l'machar, but not tomorrow, la'asosam, hayom la'asosam l'machar l'kabel scharam. That today, in this world, olam hazeh is the time to perform mitzvahs, but l'machar, tomorrow, the next day, is the moment when we receive the schar for the mitzvah. So Amar b'chagai, v'item, others say, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, what does the pasuk say? What does it mean when it says, erech ha'paim, that Hashem is going to extend his anger, erech af mibarle, it should be af, the anger, I mean apayim. He's going to extend his anger for tzaddikim and also for the Rishon. What that means is he's not going to take out any punishment on either tzaddikim and Rishon. This actually shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not punish immediately. Rather, he tries to give him a chance to do tshuva, as Tosfos points out, to hopefully they'll become better. So this seems to argue on the previous idea. So that really ends the Agata. Now we move forward back to the halachas of Maseches Erevin. So the Gemara says now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer al ad beis sasayim. We spoke about pasi beiros. That's what this parak's pretty much about. The pasi beiros, Rabbi Yehuda, although the Tanakhama felt in the Mishnah, you can make them as large as you want as long as you close the gaps in between the pasim. Rabbi Yehuda says the limitation is beis sasayim. You cannot make the area a pasi beiros larger than a beis sasayim. So Gemara wants to understand what does he mean? The sheer a beis sasayim. Ibailhu bor upasim kamar. When it describes the area of Beis Hasayim, does that mean the bor, the well, along with the area around it, all that which is within the pasim? Or Dilma, Dilma bor v'lo pasim kamar? Or does he describe the size of the bor itself being a huge bor, the Beis Hasayim? And then remember we said around the bor you have to have at least 2 amos of area to allow the cow to come inside. So the pasim, the Beis Hasayim is the bor? Plus, you get another 2 amos as well, and it gets actually a larger shear. Is that what he's referring to? So just look at Rashi just to make this all clear. Rashi says around 10 narrow lines down, Bor, upasim, the rochav habor im chalal hekef, the bor, including the area around it, hapasim harachokim shtei amos. So the entire area, the bor and the ground within pasim, could only be up until beis sasayim, that's one sad. Odoma, perhaps bor luchudei. We only have to measure the size of the boar, shari b'beis sasayim. The boar could be as large as a beis sasayim, levad, aside from harchakos beis amos. And at the end of the day, the second side says the area could be a little bit bigger than the first side. So how are we defining the measurements? So the Gemara says and explains what the svar of each side is. Do we say, adam nosein einav biboro? Does a person pay attention to the size of the boar? V'lo gazrinan dilma asi l'taltulei Yoser, mi beis hasayim bekarpav da'alma. What's the concern of beis hasayim? The concern is a karpav, which we haven't seen much about, but karpav is pretty much a dead area in an erev. If you have an erev and there's a swamp or there's a forest or there's an open field that's not really being used for anything, that could be a karpav and it could ruin the entire erev. That karpav, as long as it stays below the size of beis hasayim, it's good. If it's larger than beis hasayim, it could really ruin the entire erev, and you have to kind of work around that area. So the concern is that if you have a bor pasim beiros that's larger than beis hasayim, you might come to also rely on a karpav that's also larger than beis hasayim, but that's not allowed. Karpav is limited to beis hasayim, so now the bor should also be limited to beis hasayim. So the Gemara says, when a person looks at the pasim beiros, they don't look at the wall, see how big the outside area. The focus is on the boor. Granted, the pasim might be a little bit further and larger than the base design, but their focus is on the boor. And since they focus on the boor, it's not going to confuse them with another case of a carpet that might be larger than base design. Oh, Dilma Gemara says, perhaps, all the mosin ain't of b'michitasa. A person pays attention to the pasim around the beiros, and they notice that the pasim beiros is actually larger than a base assignment. It might confuse them to rely on a carpet that's also larger than a base assignment. So the Gemara again says, "Oh Dilma, Adam nosin einav b'michitaso, v'gazrinan Dilma asi lachlufe yoser mi base assignment b'carpet." You might come to rely on a larger than base assignment carpet. So that's the suffix of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Tashma kamahein mikuravim." So how close could a pase biros be? So kidei Shirosha Rubal Shapara, in order to fit the head and most of the body of the para. The Kamahim Muruchakim, how far could it be? Afilu Kor, Vafilu Karai, it could be as large as you want it to be. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, base Sasaim Mutter, yes, me base Sasaim Aser. Rabbi Yehuda has a limitation. So Amrullah, the Chacham say back to Rabbi Yehuda, Iatamode Bedir, do you not agree to me if you have a deer, a pen of animals, Versahar, Umuksa, Vachatzir, all the types of different fields, areas where animals hang out. I feel base chamisha karma base asar karma that could be as large as you want shemoter. So why would you say that if you agree to me by a deer by a chatzar muksa that could be as large as you want? So why do you say by pasim beiros they're limited to base asayim? So Amar Lehem, Rabbi Yehuda says there's a big chilek between the examples you gave and pasim beiros, because there it's a mechitza. There's a real wall around the deer, around the chatzar, therefore it could be as big as you want. However, ve'elu, with regard to pasim beiros, it's pasim. They're not real mechitas. They're little walls, but there's a omid, the parrot is omid, is meruba mea omid. So it's a much different, much more different case with pasim. So I'm limiting how far you can have the pasim beiros. This is the conversation. And then the Gemara continues and says, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, bor base sasayim, a base sasayim. The bor itself, not the area around it, but the bor itself can be base sasayim mutter. And you're allowed to add on to the boar a couple amos here and there to allow the cow to fit in. So it's clear from Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar that we measure the boar at base design. The pasim could be slightly wider than that. So Gemara says, "Homri de ka'amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar boar v'lo ha'pasim." From the very fact that Rabbi Shimon focuses on the boar, the size of the boar, and not the pasim. Mechlal, does that not imply that Rabbi Yehuda, when he makes his calculation of a base assignment, it's on the boar plus the pasim kamar, them together, that the pasim and the boar together must only be base assignment? Mark says, lohi, not true. Rabbi Yehuda, boar, below pasim kamar. Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar that the measurement is of the boar itself, even though that the pasim might be 2 amos away and might be larger than base assignment. They both agree, we're only talking about the shear of the boar itself. So if that's the case, then Hainu the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. What's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? They both say that the boar could be as much as base design, and plus you get 2 extra amos in each of the directions. So what's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? To which Gemara says, arich v'katam, that if it's a strange shape, it's a rectangle, that's the difference. What does that mean? According to Rabbi Yehuda, he says that the heter of a base asayim is, even if it's a rectangle, you can make it a odd shape, the one side longer than the other, that's still acceptable. But when Rabbi Shimon Elazar, apparently when he allows a shear of base asayim, he means dafka only if it's a square, a base asayim, he says, that's when it's allowed. But if it's going to be a rectangle shape, then he won't allow you to extend it to a base asayim. Why that is, not sure why, but either way, that's a nafkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Elazar, and therefore we do assume, halach lamaisa, that when you measure the base asayim according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's measuring the boar itself, but you get an extended 2 amos along each side to fit the cow in within the pasim. And the Gemara just concludes the brisa from above. Klal Amar Rabbi Shimon Elazar, he makes the following rule: Kol Avir Shetashmisha L'Dira, any space, any area that was meant to be used for man or even for behema as a place of a dira, could go in deer, v'sahar, muks, v'chatz, different areas. That filu base chamishas karm base asaras karm mutter. You're allowed to make it as big as you want. If it's a house, a huge area of animals, you can make it as large as you want. V'chol dira shetashmishu la'avir, any area that is meant to be an avir, not to live, just to open areas. You don't want anyone building there, no animals, like a swamp, it's just for avir airspace. So then the kigon burganin shibasados, those booths we spoke about, they were left out in the field, but it wasn't really meant for a dira. So that's when we say beis sasayim mutter. If the area is a beis sasayim, that's mutter to carry within that area. But yes, it'd be beis sasayim. If it's larger than beis sasayim, it becomes a carpet if that's usser, and it would be usser to carry in that area. Again, we'll have to get back to a later sugya on how to understand and appreciate the sugya of carpet. Gemara now says the new Mishnah towards the bottom of Chav Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says that this is a very important halacha. I come to halacha ma'isa actually in the five towns Erev. The Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im hayaderech rishis harabim mafsakasan yisalkenu litstadim. V'chachamim omer eino tarech. So let's say you have the an area, you have the pasim biros, and then you have a the path of rishis harabim walking right through the pasim. So is this going to ruin the pasim biros? So Yehuda says, if there's a derech rishis harabim mafsakasan yisalkenu litstadim, have them move to the side, move the pathway around the possum. Because if they were to walk right through the possum of Beiros, it's going to ruin the mechitzas. Right? So they call the concept the asu rabim umevata mechitzasam. A rabim could come and their mamish walk right through the mechitza, it ruins it. So since it would ruin it, Rabbi Huda says, make sure you have the rabim kind of circumvent the possum and go around it. Chachamim, however, in the Mishnah say, Chachamim omer me'enotach, you don't need to. Because Chachamim hold that lo asu rabim umevata mechitza. Rabim can't come and just kind of knock over the mechitza. The mechitza, the pasim, remain intact, even though they're going to walk right through the area. That's completely fine according to the Chachamim. So the Gemara explains now. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, Damru Tavaya, both of them hold. Kan hodiach hakochan shom mechitzas. And here we see the strength of Chachamim. So, meaning what? That the strength of the mechitza. That even if the rabbim are coming and they're going to walk right through the mechitza still holds intact. You can have a big walkway between the possum, they walk right through, that doesn't ruin the mechitzas are very strong. So at least halachically. So Gemara says that kan is svirlei. Does it mean we use this mishnah as a raya and they actually hold the halach lamaisa? That even though rabbim walk right through, it's not going to ruin the mechitza? But v'ha amar rabba bar bar chana amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan himself says that Yushalayim il malei de la sausea ninalas belaila chayavim aleh mishum rishis rabim. Had the walls, had the doors rather not been closed in Yushalayim at nighttime, it would actually be, part of the mechitzas wouldn't be good. Meaning there were walls around Yushalayim, but there were entranceways. So he says the only way to use those mechitzas is if you close the doors at night, which means it's completely shut. But if you always leave the doors open, that means Rabim, people are always walking right through the gates of Yerushalayim, so us Rabim, u'mevato mechitza, u'mevato the tzurza Pesach that's there. So we see Rabbi Yochanan does not think the mechitzas are strong, Rabim will be mevato mechitza. So the Gemara says, ela kan v'lo srile. All Rabbi Yochanan was pointing out was that we see, at least according to the Chachamim and the Mishnah, that Chachamim hold, mechitzas are very strong, and Rabim can't just knock them over. However, Rabbi Yochanan himself paskins that if Rabim were to come, they do actually end up ruining the mechitzas, and you cannot rely on the mechitzas. So how does one paskin halach lemaisa? So there's a big machlokas we've shown him. The Rabim paskins like the Rabbanim, that Rabim cannot be mevat mechitza. If you have a mechitza, towards a Pesach, and Rabim walk in, it doesn't ruin it. We have towards a Pesach all the time. Here, walking in and out, they shouldn't be carrying things. But if you walk through the towards a Pesach, that's not going to ruin it. But according to the Rashba says that if you have a mechitza, a towards a Pesach, or something like that, and then people walk through, it will actually ruin the mechitza. It will be ineffective. So the Shulchan Aruch brings down both deyas here. And the Bar Lacha says, these two deyas, whether or not Asur Abim, Umevata Mechitza, is dependent on how he paskin the Rajba and the Ramam, this discussion between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Eliezer. So now, furthermore, so let's say we're Machmir, that Asur Abim, Umevata Mechitza. If I have a tour to Pesach, and the Rabbim are going to come right through, it's going to ruin it. How do you define which type of Rabbim? If an individual, if I walk through a tour to Pesach, am I ruining it? So the Rashba says the only time Asur Rabim u'mevat mechitza, it's only true if you have a real din of Rishis Rabim. I mean, it has to be a highway that's 16 miles wide, has to be where the 600,000 people walking through. Only those type of Rabim will ruin it. But anything less than that will not actually ruin the Tzurza Pesach. That's the Rashba Shita. But the Hagosa Shri says, no, I agree you need Rabim, but you don't need 600,000 people. So if, let's say, you're making a tour of Pesach around, you know, Peninsula Boulevard, that's 60 amas wide, no question about it, so we'll actually ruin it. They go mamish right through. It's going to be an issue of Rishus HaRabim. The Chazan Ish says, you don't even need the din of 60 amos. He says, whenever large number of people, whatever that, he doesn't define how many, but whenever Rabim were to walk through an area of Mechita, it would actually ruin it. So we assume, unless it's a real Rishus HaRabim, that's the whole discussion about 16 amos or not. Most assume that you have to have 16 amos wide and 600,000 people to ruin a mechitza, to ruin a Tzuza Pesach. So otherwise, most mechitzas wouldn't work in this world. So the Peninsula Boulevard does not have 600,000 people. It's only 16 amos wide. Therefore, it's a good mechitza. It's us rabim, mvat mechitza. It's not, because it does not have a real din of a rabim. But there is a big question in our Erev when it comes to a train. Rav Shechter thinks a train, by definition, has a din of us rabim, mvat mechitza. It's based on, I think, a Shvus Yaakov. I don't remember. I think a Shvus Yaakov. Most poskim don't agree with this. Rav Shechter himself does think it ruins the entire Erev here, so he does not hold to the Erev. He thinks the Erev works, is what to rely on. He himself personally does not think the Erev will work because the train goes right through. It doesn't have 16 amos wide. There's not 600,000 people, but he thinks it actually qualifies as a Asarabim u'mevatel mechitza. Okay, let's go weiter now. The Gemara says, we are the last seven lines of the Amud here. The Gemara says, Rami, the Rabbi Yehuda, Rami, the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan. Let's point out a contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda and himself and Rabbanan as well. What's the contradiction? So the Gemara says that the Tanya, yes, sir, Al-Kain, this Bryce is quoted many, many times in the Masechta. More than this, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Mishahaya lo shnei batim, mishnei tzidei rishus rabim. The person has houses, he owns both houses across the street from each other, and there's a rabim that goes in between. Oso lo lechem mikan v'lechem mikan, akor mikan v'akor mikan, he makes two lechis, makes two koros, and v'nos v'nos and b'emsa, is able to accomplish an eriv, even though it's having rishus rabim pass right through. So Amr lo, the chacham respond back to him, ein ma'arvin rishus rabim b'kach. You can't make Erev around this. You can't make an Erev with Asur Rabim without the Mechita. It doesn't work that way. So the Gemara says, Kasha, the Behuda, the Behuda, the Kasha, the Rabbanah, the Rabbanah. Because in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said, when Pasim Beiros, you had to have the Rabim walk around the Pasim Beiros. But here, by the Mechitas, Rabbi Yehuda says, you can have Rabim walk right through your two houses and it's okay. And Rabbanah, the reverse. Rabbanah said in the Mishnah, it's okay to have the Rabim walk right through Pasim Beiros. But by the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in the Brice in the Gemara, he says, no, you can't make a mechitza around Rabbim walking through. So what's the difference? So the Gemara says, the Rabban Rabbihuda, the Rabbihuda, Lokashia, Hasam, Dika Shem Mechita, Smal Yasa, because the case of the houses, you have two real walls, the walls of the houses that are surrounding Rishus Rabim. When you have two real walls, that actually makes it Rishus Yachid, and therefore you could rely, even though us Rabim, we say not the lo mevata mechitza when there are two real mechitzas. But hacha here, by the case of the pasim beiros, there are no mechitzas. They're simply those corner pieces. Hacha leka she mechitzas, mal yasa. They're not real mechitzas. And therefore, since the pasim are very weak forms of mechitzas, we do say asir rabim umevatel mechitza. On the flip side, the Rabbanan nami lo kasha, there's no contradiction for the Rabbanan either, because hacha ika shem arba mechitas, by the case of the pasim beiros, granted, maybe the pasim are not real mechitas, but there are at least four of them. You have a total of four different corners, so you have four, and therefore Rabbanan say, have the Rabbanan walk right through, but since we have a total of four mechitas, we're okay. But hasim, by the case of the houses on the two sides, lekasham dal mechitas, there are only two walls, not four walls, so therefore we do say, asir rabim umevatel mechitza. So Gemara now says last two lines of the Amud here, Amr Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Eretz Yisrael ein chayavim aleha mishum Rishus Rabim. Make a categorical statement that there is no Rishus Rabim in Eretz Yisrael. That's the statement he said. So what does that mean? So Yosef Rabdimi v'kamer leila shmaisa. He was saying this statement over. And Amr leha bai says to Rabdimi, my time, what's the basis to say that there's no Rishus Rabim in Eretz Yisrael? How does it make any sense? So he explains that Ilema Mishum Demakif Le Summa Ditzur, if it means because it's surrounded by the rocks of the mountains around Eretz Yisrael. So he explains that Mehachisa Umechatna Degad there, and there's like a fence on the other side, Mehachisa. Rav Chaim in his Sefer Derech Hamun, he talks about like each of the different borders of Eretz Yisrael, that there's the Yarden on one side, which has the walls of the Yarden River, and there's the Mediterranean on the other side, which has another dip, another rock, and then the mountains on the top, and the mountains in the south. All that creates, you know, walls all around Eretz Yisrael. So he says again, and there's a fence of Mehachisa, and all around, so you have these walls, these natural walls that are a part of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, Bavel Nami, Makiv Lai, Pras Mehachisa, Vidiglas Mehachisa, Bavel as well, has the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers on the kind of wrapping around Bavel, and each of the rivers have the river banks with the walls that are there beneath the river. So that should also serve as these natural walls, and we should say Bavel also can't be Rishus HaRabim because of these natural walls. And the Gemara says one step further, the Chuli Al Monami, the entire world is Makiv Okeanos, meaning every single country in the world, every continent, you know, there's an ocean. At some point in the ocean, there's going to be a big drop, and you have walls all around underneath the walls, underneath the water. So every country is really an island with walls that are beneath the ocean, and there should never be any Rishus Rabim because there's always these natural walls. So the Gemara says, therefore, it can't be the case. That's not the Svar. We can't rely on the walls of the underneath the ocean. Now, before we get to what the statement about Eretz Yisrael was, why not? Why can you not rely on the walls that are, you know, underneath the oceans where the drops, there's a big drop? So there are two reasons why. So Tosas explained that we said above that Chachamim held Lo Asur Rabim Umavat Mechitza. He said that if you have a wall and Rabim walk through, they're not Umavat Mechitza. That's only true if you take a look at the last line. Look at Tosas Dir Maschel Dilma. Tosas writes, last few lines, V'yesh Lomar, the mechitza she'ena asui b'de adam, if it was not made by man, it was natural, so lo chashiva mechitza kula, that's not a chashiv mechitza. If it was natural, that's not so chashiva. And afilu rabbanim modu, do asur rabim u'mevatel mechitza. So if you had a man-made wall, you made a terza pesach, so rabim could walk right through, it's not going to ruin the mechitza. But if it's natural, so then Rabbim come, and since boats walk, you know, fly over, or they go over these walls, that Asur Rabbim, even though it's not a real din of Rishus Rabbim, it ruins the effectiveness of the wall. That's the understanding of Tosas. So we throw out all these walls that are beneath the ocean. The Ramban says, no, the reason why is because you can't notice the walls. You can't see them. You have to be able to see mechitzas. If you can't see the mechitzas, they're ineffective. So the Ramban says it's only true when it actually comes to natural walls. You have to be able to see them. When it comes to man-made walls, you don't really need to see them. As long as you know they're there, you don't have to actually see them. So Rav Moshe, when he talks about the Eruv in Manhattan, so one of the things he explains here is how far away could walls be to be able to notice them. So based on Chai Adam, it seems to be 32 mil in each direction. So in theory, had there not been any buildings, a person could be standing in the center of Manhattan, and you could see the different sides, the east and the west coast, you could see the walls that are there. Ramosha says that might be a reason why the Manhattan might have a natural wall around it, and you could rely on it. Now, even though Lamaisa, we can't see across town because the huge buildings are blocking the way, but he says that shouldn't make a difference. As long as in theory, if Manhattan was flat, you'd be able to see each side of the wall, that would be close enough to be considered the mechitzas, he felt, for Manhattan. That's one of the explanations he says one perhaps could rely on an Eruv in Manhattan that might not even need an Eruv because of those natural walls that are around it. Either way, most cases we assume that you cannot rely on the natural walls that go around the country, around the continent, and therefore we have to understand what does it mean when the statement was that there is no Rishus HaRabim in Eretz Yisrael. It can't be because of the natural walls. That's not the Svara. So the Gemara then therefore says, what does he mean? So the Gemara explains that Dilma Malos Marados Kamas. Perhaps he was talking about some of the steep inclines and declines in Eretz Yisrael, some of the steep mountains and some of the steep stairs. Maybe that's what he was referring to. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says four lines down, Malos and Marados and Sheba Kamras, She'en Chayavim Alein Mishim Rishis Rabin. These areas that are very steep are not Rishis Rabin. Why not? Delo Nicha Dirisa Didhu Vilhavi Rishis Rabin. Because it's not an easy path. Rishus HaRabim is meant to be where it's an area that's very pleasant and easy to walk through and pass through, but once you're walking up steep or narrow areas, up and down, that's not easy for Rabim to walk through, and therefore does not qualify as Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara then says further, Amar Le, Rav Dimi said to Abaye, Karkafna Chazesa L'Reshach, Kia Be'amudi, Kiam Rav Yochanan L'Hashvaisa. He says, I remember the Adam Chashiv, I saw, but you were between the pillars or something along those lines when Rav Yochanan himself said this, and that's Mamish what he said. So you're right. When he said this din about the Novishas Rabin there to sell, he meant in the narrow areas or the steep inclines and declines, that's where he had said that there is no Rishus Rabin. So Gemara says, Idmar Nami was said as well that Kiyasa, when Rabin reported back from Eretz Yisrael, right? Rabin and Rav Dimi would oftentimes come back from Eretz Yisrael and report from what Rabbi Yochanan had said. So Rabban said, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'amri le others say it was Amar Rabbi Abo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, malos umarados sheberet yisrael, ein chayav malein mishum rishis rabim, lefi she'eno kedigle hamidbar. That's not how it was. If you just look at Rashi, one more Rashi here, she'enon kedigle midbar, in which way? That the eretz chalaka hayisa she'ha'anan mashra osa. Very interesting, right? There are no valleys, no mountains in the midbar. It was, but Anani HaKavod came and made everything smooth. So in order to define a Rosh Hashanah, it must be smooth as well. If there are going to be big bumps and hills, that's not going to make for an easy flow of traffic. That would ruin it. So that's what he's referring to. All the inclines in Eretz Yisrael, since there's so many of them, those inclines will not be Rosh Hashanah because it does not fit into the model of Diglei Midbar. So Gemara now says further, Boy Minei Rachba Mirava. He asked the following shaila from him. Teah HaMeslaket Asara Mitach Arba V'Rabim Bokimba. If you have a little mound that qualifies as a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, where it's a height of 10 tefachim over the distance of 4 amos, and Rabim are Bokimba and the Rabim are walking through it, does that to take on a din of Rosh Hashanah Rabim? Do we say Chayavim Alav Mishum Rosh Hashanah Rabim? Oh, ain't Chayavim Alav, or maybe not. Why would it not be? So I'll say outside before you see in the Gemara, because it doesn't make for a smooth traffic. Rosh Hashanah Rabim has to be where it's smooth, but once there's a little bump in the way, so that ruins the flow of traffic. So they want to know, does this ruin the flow of traffic and we no longer have a din of Rosh Hashanah Rabim, or no? Since Rabim were actually walking over it, they don't mind a little bit of an incline and a slope, so therefore it does take on the din of Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So the Gemara clarifies. Aliba dirabban, according to the Rabbanim, lo tibarilach, it was never a shaila. Hash, now, mahasam denicha, tashmishesa, amir rabbanim, lo asi rabim, umvatli michitasa, there. By the pasim biraos, an amun aleph, that you had a flat area, you had the pasim going around the boar, and Rabin walked right through an even flow. We still said, even though it was a nicha tashmishasa, we don't say it ruins the mechitza. So if where it's a nicha tashmishasa, it doesn't ruin it. So certainly in a situation, hocha, delo nicha tashmishasa, when it comes to the mound, which is not a pleasant way to walk, it's not a flow of traffic, lo kolche, and certainly it will not ruin the din of tail maslaket, and it will not take on a rishis ram. It remained a rishis yachid, because the tail itself is rishis yachid. The question is, if Rabim come and use that, will it turn it into Rishis Rabim? And the answer is no, because lo nicha tashmish sesa. But lo baki tibaylach, when it was asked, it was aliba de Rehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, if the flow of traffic goes to the pasim, it actually ruins the pasim. So my, what do we say? Hasim who, the nicha over there, by the case of the pasim, where we say that nicha tashmishte, we say it is a pleasant way to use it. So that's where we say the din is as Rabim mal nichitasa. Sorry, I skipped a line 1 second here. Again, Aliba the Rabbi Yehuda, my, what do we say? Hasim who, the nicha tashmishase, we say it is an even flow of traffic. Aval hacha, the lo nicha tashmishase, where it's not an even flow, lo asirabim avalim michitasa. Oh, demolosha, maybe we don't care whether it's an even flow or not. If it's a traffic flows nicely or doesn't flow nicely, either way, when Rabbim utilize it, it turns it to Rishis Rabbim. So what's the answer? Amalei chayavim. The din is, when Rabbim uses it, even though it's not an even flow, it takes on the din of Rishis Rabbim. So Gemara says, is that true? Vafilu, even olin lo bechevel, even if they need like a rope to kind of pull themselves up, it's not a, you know, they have to kind of climb the ladder or the slope, it's such an incline, they need a rope to help them, which makes it really certainly not an even flow at all. On the in, yes. Vafilu b'malos beis maron, which is a very steep incline, Rashi explains, b'malos beis maron, zekuf and ma'od, very steep. Umal ksar, a very, very narrow area. Umahalchin baze 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 achazer below shaim yachad. Only one at a time can walk through very narrow entrance way. It's tight. It's steep. What about that area? In Amalei in that too. Anytime Rabin use it, even though it's not a pleasant walk through, it's still going to take on Rishis Rabin. That was the understanding of the Gemara. So Gemara then says Eisi vechatzer sharabin nichnasin lo bezu v'yotzin bezu. Let's say a chatzer where the Rabin had actually penetrated through the chatzer. So now they walk from one end, they breach through, and walk through another end of the chatzer. So now the din of this chatzer itself becomes Rishis Rabim Lutuma, the Rishis HaYachid L'Shabbos. What that means is, Rishis Rabim Lutuma, the din of Rishis Rabim Lutuma is defined by three people that are there. We've discussed it in the past. When the three people that are there, it has a din of Rishis Rabim, Lagabe Tuma. What's the relevance of Tuma and Rishis Rabim, Rishis HaYachid? The answer is, the Gemara says, whenever there's a case of a Suffolk Tuma, you don't know what the status is, if it's a suffik tuma b'rishis hayachid, so then it's going to be tahor, tame rather. If it's suffik tuma b'rishis harabim, it's going to be tahor. That's based on Sota. It says by Sota in Parshanasa, Vinitma, 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 three times. So we have a din of Tumah and Sota connected, just like a woman who's in Sota, she's a Nisra, she's in a secrecy with one man, that's Yichud, that's where she's Tamei, so to Dine Tumah is Rosh Hashiachah when there are only two people. But once there's a third party there, she's not a Sota anymore, that's already considered public, so to three people by Rosh Hashirabim of a Tumah becomes Rosh Hashirabim, and would be Safeg would be Tahor. But Lagabe Hilchos Shabbos, such an area would be considered Rosh Hashiachah still. So why? So Gemara says, money. Who is the author of this statement? So Gemara says, Elam, if you're going to tell me it's Rabbanan authored this statement, Hashta Mahasam, Dinicha Tashmishasei, Am Rabbanan Lo Asir Rabbanan Vat Michitasa. When you have an area like Pasim Beiros, where it was pleasant to walk through, and yet still the Rabbanan say that the Rabbim cannot turn this into a Rosh Rabbim, so certainly a case where they breach through the fences of a Chatzar, where it's not a pleasant use, because Rashi describes here the breach in the fence is still tight. They're kind of wiggling through the fence on this side to get to the other side. It's like walking through, you know, a tiny little doorway. It's certainly not going to be an even flow. Certainly, Chachamim will say they cannot transform the Chatzar into Rosh Hashanah. So it's so obvious for Rabbanim. Ela must be la Rabbi Yehuda. Must be Rabbi Yehuda taught this brisa, and we see, even though the Rabbim walk through the area into the chatzir, and it's since it's low nicha tashmishasei, we're going to say it retains the status of being a Rosh Hashayachid. So there'll be a raya, so to tail mislakate, since it's low nicha tashmishasei, it should also remain the status of Rosh Hashayachid. That's what the Gemara suggests. Gemara says, lo, not true. This brisa was not authored by Rabbi Yehuda. The Olam is authored by the Rabbanan. So it's authored by the Rabbanan. What's a chiddush? Of course we know the Chatzar remains Rosh Hashayachid. It's lo nicha tashmishasei. It's an obvious point. The Gemara says, this was not a chiddush legabe hilchos Shabbos. Rather, Rosh Hashirabim l'tumah itzrich lai. He was teaching us a chiddush by Rosh Hashirabim of tumah. That was a chiddush, but no chiddush at all by hilchos Shabbos. Gemara now brings another eye. We have two more brayas to finish the Gemara here. The Gemara says, Tashma. Mevolos hamefulashos bibaros. If you have these alleyways that open one end to the other end that are in a bore, and b'shichin b'maros, Rosh Hashayachid l'Shabbos, Rosh Hashirabim l'tumah. So the Gemara just points out, what do you mean biboros, sakadadach? How do you have an alleyway in a bor itself? It doesn't mean in a bor, ela liboros. So if you have an alleyway, a mavoy, that leads to a bor, meaning one end is a rabim, Rosh Hashirabim, and the other end is a bor. So the Gemara explains, Rosh Hashayachid l'Shabbos, Rosh Hashirabim l'tumah. So Mani, who authored this braisa? Ilei merabbanan. The Rabbanim were the ones who authored this. Hashem ahasim over there, denicha tashmishasei. By the case of Pasim Biros, even though there was an even flow, Amri lo asir rabim mevatila, rabim cannot change the status of Pasim Biros. Hacha, the lo nicha tashmishasei, where you're walking right to a bore, that's certainly not a pleasant flow. It's not an even flow. Certainly, the Chacham won't say it turns into a Rosh Hashayachid. So obviously, this remains the status of Rosh Hashayachid, according to Rabbanim. So lo kol shekein. Elav Rabbi Yehuda, must be there, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is teaching us that the only time we say Asar Rabim Mavat Mechit, it's only when Nicha Tashmishase. But when Lo Nicha Tashmishase, like the case into the boar, they would agree that Lo Asar Rabim Mavat Mechit. To which the Gemara says, Lo, not true. Li'olam Rabbanim, really this was a Chiddush by Rabbanim, but not a Chiddush Lagabe Hilchos Shabbos. That again was obvious. Obvious to Rabbanim, this remained Rosh Hashayachid. The Chiddush was Rosh Hashirabim L'tumah, it's Rech Light to teach us that this area would turn into Rosh Hashirabim Lagabe Hilchos Tumah. That was a Chiddush, but no Chiddush at all when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. And finally, the Gemara says the final braisa is Tashma. Gemara says, Shvilei Beis Gilgal. You have some of these pathways in an area of Beis Gilgal in Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara explains that the Chayotzibon, and something similar, other types of pathways throughout Eretz Yisrael. It's a Rosh Hashayachin, Rosh Hashayachin l'Shabbos, the Rosh Hashirabim l'Tumah. V'ezu Shvili Beis Gilgal, what exactly are these pathways of Beis Gilgal? Amri Debei, Rabbi Yannai, Kol Shein Ha'eved Yachal Litol Sa'a Shalchitim, V'yaretz Lefnei Sa'adiyah. Whenever an Eved is not able to hold a certain amount of Chita and run, means a very narrow area, so that's what's called the Rosh Hashayachin. So the Gemara wants to know who authored this. So money, Ilei me Rabban, if you say the Rabban are teaching this brisa, Hasha denicha, Hasha mahasam denicha tashmisha, where the usage is very even, like the pasim beiros, and yet Amri Rabbanan lo asur Rabbanan rabim avat lemechitasa, that we say even in the case of nicha tashmishasa, we say the rabim don't come and ruin the mechita. Hacha, here, however, where we define a shvili based Gilgal as very tight, narrow area, the lo nicha tashmish sasa, where we don't have an even flow, it's not pleasant to use an area. The koshik, and certainly Rabbanan won't turn this area into Rishis Yachid. El Rabbi Huda must be, this was taught by Rabbi Huda, that he says the only time you say Asa Rabim Mavata Machit is only true when a nicha tashmish sasa. When it comes to an area like Shvili based Gilgal, there he agrees it retains the status of Rishis Yachid, and that would answer the discussion above, that so too a tel maslakit, since it's not licha and lo nicha tashmishasa, it would remain the status of Rishis Yachid. And the Gemara says, no, Amr lei Shvili based Gilgal commerce, you're talking about the basis of Gilgal, the pathways in based Gilgal, that Yeshua Oiv Yisrohaya, Yeshua ben Nun, was a big lover of the land, as we know. And Amar Vitikin Lamed Rachim Ushata, he established certain paths and streets that they should be able to walk. And Kol Hecha Denicha Tashmish also, whenever it was pleasant to walk through, it was wide, it was smooth. Masa the Rabbin, he gave it over to the Rabbin. But Kol Hecha Delo Nicha Tashmish also, whenever it was not easy for the Rabbin to use, Masa the Yachid, he gave it to the Yachid. What comes out from this was that this is a special din of Eretz Yisrael. When Yeshua ben Nun, he was manchil the land, he made sure that these different shvili based Gilgal remain Rishis Yachid. He remained Rishis Yachid, and you cannot allow Rabim ever to ruin it. But this would have no impact to other areas, Chutzarts, where you might have an area that's a little pathway. If Rabim were to come, it's possible that Rabim can actually mevatel chita. But this was a special din to Eretz Yisrael, and has no bearing on what the halacha would be outside of Eretz Yisrael. So in the end, there is no clear answer to this, but I told you, halacha maisa, this is a very relevant point, because you do have oftentimes where Rabim can come asu, mevatel mechita. Okay, we'll stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, we will continue tomorrow.